It be upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. I would ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to Galatians 3. The page number, I think, is 1331 in the Pew Bible, if you didn't happen to bring yours with you today. Is that right? Is it 1331? Yeah, okay. Thank you. I'm also going to ask everybody to be really kind to me today, if you would. I'm running on about two cylinders, and know that I'm desperately in need of a vacation, which we're going to do, starting not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. And I keep making all sorts of really dumb mistakes, and things seem to be not working right, so I take all of this as a sign of exhaustion. I tried to find hymn 537 on page 537 of the prayer book. I had an overhead, which I wanted to use this morning, of some Greek words, and I can't get either overhead projector to work. So it's just one of those mornings. So I'll just ask you to be kind to me, if you would. Paul is writing to some Gentiles and Jews together in Galatia. And if you look at the beginning of chapter 3 of Galatians, this comes a little bit before the portion that we heard read today. He says this, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" So Paul is being very terse with these folks and very blunt. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, that is, continuing in the practices, purity and otherwise, of the Jews, or by believing what you heard? Then he says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" And so what Paul has said here is they have been given the Spirit as promised by Jesus Christ. And now, having already received the Spirit, it's as if they're retreating back to the law in order to attain their goal. And then he says, "Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" The implication being, of course, that it's because they have been given the Spirit, not because they obey the law. And then he goes on to talk about Abraham and how Abraham was credited for his righteousness. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And what he goes on to discuss here is it is not Abraham's obedience to the law, which wasn't even given until 430 years after the time of Abraham, but Abraham was credited because he believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then if you look down in verse 8, he says, "The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." So those who have faith are blessed with, along with Abraham, the man of faith. So what he's talking about here is the difference between the blessing we receive through faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit that we are given as a result, and obedience to the law by which people had tried to earn their way into God's favor. And then now let's roll forward to the portion of Scripture appointed for today. And this begins in Galatians 3:23. "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. What I'd like you to do is, if you've got your own Bible, I would encourage you to write in it now. I'd like you to underline some of the words in it. One of the words I'd like you to underline is imprisoned and also guarded. And we're going to talk about what those mean and what Paul is trying to communicate here. Also, disciplinarian. The law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, you are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Let's just look at that portion first. What Paul is trying to communicate here is the sense in which we have moved from a life of simple obedience to the law into a life of faith and living by the Spirit. And he's trying to communicate what that really means. If you read this the way it reads in this version of the English, the sense that we have, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded. You have the sense that you're sort of like in jail, imprisoned, he says. And there's a prison guard standing outside of the jail not to allow you out. And it says, therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came. The idea of a disciplinarian being someone who keeps you in line, who sort of snaps the whip and that sense. Until we were kept under a disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. The idea being somehow that we're locked up in jail, and then when Christ comes, by the righteousness that he is, he springs us from jail. We get out of the pokey because of what Christ has done. But I want to look at the words that are translated this way, because there are a variety of ways they can be translated. And I think there's a better sense to this, which is important to our understanding of Paul's message. That's why I'd hoped to use the overheads, but we'll just suffer ahead, or at least I will, without them. The word that's rendered imprisoned here, as in imprisoned and guarded, is a word which is subkleo. In Greek, it means more simply to be included, like to be included inside a room or a group. An English word might be closeted, if you know that word. The sense is that you are kept sort of safe in a room, but it's not jail. The sense of it isn't prison, but more that you're like kept safe in your home or kept safe in your room. And the word which is rendered guarded here is phroreo, and that means to be protected or watched over, such as you would be by a sentinel. Not a jailer who's keeping you in prison, but more that you are in a safe place and you are being guarded while you're in that safe place. That's the sense of it, that you're being protected, not imprisoned because you've done something wrong. And then that's consistent with the other word here, which is translated as disciplinarian. In the Greek, it's paidagogos, which is pedagogue, or we know the word pedagogue, or pedagogical would be the adjective in English. And the word pedagogue, we don't have an equivalent of that in English any longer. The word literally in Greek means boy leader. And a pedagogue in rich Greek families or in Hellenistic culture was a slave who worked for the family, and his single job was to look after the heir, the boy child or the boy children in the family. And he taught them morals. He taught them life discipline at home. He taught them how to behave, how to grow up to be moral, ethical human beings. That was the job of the pedagogue. And the pedagogue, every morning, would take that boy and walk him to school and leave him at the door of the schoolhouse where the boy would then go in and be schooled. The pedagogue would meet him at the door when school was over and take him home. In fact, rich Hellenistic boys were never allowed out of their homes ever without the pedagogue present, as long as they were children, not until they grew up. That's the sense of who this person was in that culture. Not a disciplinarian in the sense that we might think of it, but rather an old and trusted slave. And I emphasize slave because that becomes important in just a minute. Now, let's go on to the next couple of verses. But now that faith has come, you are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. Let's say you're no longer subject to a pedagogue. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Now, the NRSV, which is the Bible that we have in our pews, translates the word from Greek as children. The word in Greek is huios, which means sons. And it's a male term on purpose in the Greek. Now, the other words in the Greek that the NRSV appropriately translates as non-gender specific, anthropos and anthropon, they really have a sense of people. But this is a word which specifically means sons. And the reason is because it's consistent with the story that we're hearing from Paul. He's saying that until faith comes, we're kept in and protected in our homes. We have a pedagogue who is with us. This is the man, the old trusted slave assigned to the sons in the family who will be the heirs, who teaches them morals and ethics, who walks them to school, who walks with them everywhere they go outside of the house until they come of age. And so it's important that we understand that this sons here isn't children in the Greek. It's sons because it's consistent with all of this about the slave who is with the rich young men. Paul is setting something up here on purpose that he wants us to see, and that's why it's important that we understand the consistency of what this says in the Greek. Now, the people that he's talking to are Galatians, and this is a highly Hellenized culture. It's right across the Aegean Sea from Greece. It's mostly Hellenized Gentiles, that is not necessarily Greeks, but non-Jews, as well as there are some Jews among these people who are the Galatians. So, understanding the passage with that sense of it that I gave, it might read something like this, starting in verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were kept inside the home and protected by the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our guardian, or our pedagogue. It looked after our moral and character development and led us to school to Christ so that we might be set free by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to our pedagogue, to our guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all grown up and heirs of God through faith. So what Paul has said is that the law given through Moses and the prophets was there ultimately to lead us to Christ. It was not Christ. It could only show us our need for him. It could lead us to him, but it could not substitute for him. It was to prepare us to know that Christ would come and to lead us to him when he came. It could take us to the doorway of the school, but there we had to enter into his presence. It could not substitute for him. Now, we then go on to the next verse, verse 27. And he says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And I just want to dwell on this image for a minute because it, again, is consistent. What he has said is that we have been led by the law, who was our teacher, taught us morals and ethics. We have been led by the law to the doorway, which is Christ. And then we have been baptized into Christ, and the Greek says into Christ, and have been clothed with Christ. We have clothed ourselves in Christ. I want to first look at the word baptized here in Greek. It was a Greek poet and a physician named Nicander. He lived about 200 BC, and he wrote a recipe for making pickles. And it's important to read what he said about making pickles because it applies directly to baptism. He says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable, whether it's a cucumber or a carrot or anything else, must first be dipped into boiling water. And the word he uses in Greek is bapto. That does not mean baptized. It means dipped. Bapto into boiling water and then baptized, baptizo, in the vinegar solution. Baptizo is the word used for baptized in the New Testament. And the sense of it is the sense that Nicander gives it, and that is, it isn't simply dipped, it's immersed and soaked. You know, any pickle that you taste, whether it's made from a cucumber or a radish or a carrot or a green bean or anything else, they all taste like pickle. They may have their individual flavor, just as we have our individual personalities, but all of them that have been baptized in vinegar have been pickled, and the pickling has gone through every cell of that vegetable. And so the sense of baptized is that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. We are soaked through with the Holy Spirit. That's the idea. So that it's in every cell of our body. So he says, you've been baptized into Christ Jesus and have clothed yourselves with Christ. In fact, the word in Greek for clothed yourselves means to sink into a garment. And the image is from early baptism, when the believers took off all of their clothes, went completely underwater, and as they came up, were given a white robe. And that whole image is a baptismal image. The idea of baptism is soak, saturate, permeate, infuse, marinate, pickle, overwhelm. It's just completely soaked into the person. That's what baptize means. So now let's look where Paul goes with this. Verse 28. Probably one of the most famous sentences Paul ever said. There is no longer Jew or Greek. By Greek he means a non-Jew, a Gentile. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Now look at how wonderfully he finishes all that he's set up here. He started by saying, here's the way the world looks until Christ comes. Only boys are heirs. A slave is assigned to be the spiritual teacher, to teach morals and ethics to the boy, to protect him. He's guarded in the home. He's led by the slave. The boy is led by the slave to the school. And this is what culture looked like in those days. You had slaves. You had boys. The men inherited. The women weren't even allowed out of their homes. And what Paul has just done now is he has corrected all of this and liberated all of it, because he's made everyone in that equation equal to Christ. And this would have particular meaning to the people in Galatia, because the Jews, particularly among them, every morning woke up and said a prayer. And the prayer that the Jewish men said every morning began this way: thank you, God, that you have not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. A Gentile, a slave, or a woman. And what has Paul just done? He has said, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are all heirs according to the promise. And he has said, contrary to this prayer that said every morning, thank you that I wasn't born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman, he has said, in Christ Jesus, you are all one. There is no longer Jew or Greek. The prayer, thank you I wasn't made a Gentile, is abolished. There is no longer slave or free. The prayer, thank you that I wasn't made a slave, is abolished. Thank you, there is no longer male and female. The prayer, thank you that I was not made a woman, is abolished. Paul, in one fell swoop, has said all of these distinctions for those of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus are rendered meaningless. Meaningless. Jew and Greek are the same. They're all heirs of Abraham according to the promise. Slave and free, employer, employee, poor, rich. The divisions among Christians are rendered meaningless if you are baptized into Christ Jesus. Men and women, the division is rendered meaningless if you are baptized into Christ Jesus. To conclude, to go back to the very beginning of Galatians where we read, he said that we were all heirs according to the promise. The promise is the Spirit. That's in verse 14 of Galatians 3. And the promise is also the miracles that the Spirit does among us. That's in verse 5. And he says in verse 3, now that he has given us his Spirit, are we so foolish as to believe we can attain our goal by human effort. And we are not. What we are to do is rely upon the Spirit of truth, which Jesus promised to us, not to try to go back to the rules and regulations which we had when we had not yet become heirs, when we had not yet grown up, when we had not yet come to Christ, but when we still had to have a pedagogue with us, when we still had to be protected. He said, "You have been set free, you have been made heirs." Rely on the promise. Don't rely on your own effort. Rely on the gift of the Spirit. Don't rely on your own effort. Don't go back to the law. It is prison for you. It guarded you once, it would be prison now. Instead, rely on the Spirit given you freely because you have been baptized into Christ. Amen.